but it's down to Cologne Ranger and Jeremy's Jet. Which of these will take the lion's share of $1 million? Jeremy's Jet on the inside, dead game, captures the match.
Moving pitchers on the backfield is coming on. Moving pitchers on the far outside, reaches up for Mark McDonald to win the Breeders' Crown Open Mare Pace. It is Moving Pitchers with a 9-1 stutter and 151.
Tying up on the end of it, trying to reach Mystical Sunshine. And it's Peaceful Way with her brilliant winning way to capture the
Armroad. Coast to coast on the World Wide Web, this is Trot Radio on Standardbred Canada. Greetings, salutations. Norm Boric from the home office at Rideau-Carlton Raceway as we continue to look forward to the big wagering conference going on in Windsor over the next few days and a number of topics being discussed. One of them is of particular interest to me, maybe because I'm getting old and I want to figure out what makes teenagers tick, especially how it pertains to getting them into the racetracks of Canada. One of those topics is going to be, how do we get to the techno generation? And on the other end of my line is the moderator of that particular conversation that's going to be going on at the conference. He is the commentator for Woodbine Racing Live on The Score and all-around good guy, Greg Blanchard. Welcome to Trot Radio.
Thank you, Norm. Great to be here.
Now, I don't think you have teenage kids.
I've got one that's getting close.
Really? Okay.
Actually turning 8.
Okay. Well, they're probably young enough now to have a Nintendo or whatever it is glued to their ear or eye or whatever, right?
Oh, exactly.
What is it you think that harness racing can do, Greg Blanchard, to try and get the kids in their current state of mind, which is very high tech, to be attracted to a sport that's pretty pastoral in nature?
Boy, that is a tough question. That's the million-dollar question that we face right now. So I think that's something that we'll touch on with my panel in particular. And we've got some interesting people involved in that might be able to shed more light on it than I can. But, I think the industry as a whole, Norm, is playing catch-up when it comes to technology, when it comes to things like embracing the internet, and we've made great strides, but I think there's a long way to go, and when we look outside the industry, we realize at times that we are a little bit behind the eight ball. So my panel's very interesting, and I'm very interested to hear what they have to say and some of the ideas that may be spawned from it. And I know we've got a guy named Dean Towers on there who I'm sure you're familiar
with. That's right.
Norm.
Horse player.
Yeah, he's a horse player, horse owner, runs his own marketing company and has his own blog as well. And very much in touch with today's technology and the advancements. And the thing about a guy like Dean is he can put on different hats, and I think he can approach the issue from many different perspectives and might have some unique ideas on where we can go.
Where are we now, and where would you like to see the direction go? Would you like to see virtual racing games that a kid can play on his, iPod?
I guess so.
Yeah, I'm old, Greg. Have patience, I'm old. Whatever the case may be, what's your take on that?
Well, I think you're on the right path there. Things like that have to start to be looked at pretty seriously. Just interactivity of any nature, I think, is the key. And that's, I think, what our generation craves right now is to be interactive, and they can do it in so many different ways nowadays that, we have to just simply catch up to some of the other sports, some of the other industries in that regard.
Yeah, it's a matter of taking the mountain to Mohammed, as it were, because these kids aren't likely to want to sit down and wait a whole 12 minutes between races. You know, they want to be able to go on to the next page. So, you know, we've got to get to where they live.
Absolutely. And I think it's something that's untapped. I think the internet and the interactivity that it offers is probably one of the most effective ways that we can encourage trial as far as wagering is concerned. And that's always been a big issue with our sport. It's, we're trying to take people, or we've always thought we could take people who weren't gamblers, who were just marginal or casual fans, and somehow turn them into bettors. And I think this is probably an area where there's a lot of potential, and online poker is a good example. I think they've done that very effectively with different websites where they encourage people to join, play for free, learn how the game goes, and then eventually maybe take that next step and start playing for real.
I want to touch on that in a moment. One quick question, though. I know that on the T-Bred side, there are electronic games where you are the jockey and you get to, you know, participate in a virtual race. Anything on the horizon on the standardbred side?
I haven't, you know, read much on that, but I've seen some articles where it's been talked about, and I believe there are some different games out there, and I'm sure we'll see that explored, and we'll see that grow in the future. And I'm sure, Norm, when you watch a thoroughbred telecast from here at Woodbine, even our standardbred telecast, you'll see the new Trackus system. Mm-hmm. So we've started to, I think, tap into that virtual world where we have the Trackus display, and it can give you a virtual look at a race. And when you watch a replay, you even have the luxury now of choosing how you want to watch it. Mm-hmm. You can put yourself in the perspective of the horse or the jockey or the driver, and you can get a whole different perspective on a race. So that's a step we've taken, and even with that type of technology, I think we're only scratching the surface of what we could ultimately do.
You know, I find it interesting. You mentioned poker. You know, there's a game, and I want to frame this within the context of how different generations react to the habits and the lifestyles of their predecessors. Okay, stick with me on this one. Poker was your grandfather's game, wasn't it?
Right.
Now, all of a sudden, all these guys in their 20s are going nuts for poker. My hope is that the next generation coming up the path, you know, who are not are going to be the sons and daughters of the high-tech gizmo kids, may want to go back to some pastoral form of entertainment. And if we're going to at least get in the groove from a technological standpoint, that's going to segue very nicely into a generation that might want to participate in a form of sports entertainment that's a bit easier on the eyes, slower moving, you might say. So I think that's an interesting demographic debate that could be had.
Well, I agree, and the title of my panel is Back to the Future. So, maybe finding a way of marrying the past to the present, taking a product which once upon a time was very appealing to the general public, and simply bringing it up to the times. And I think that is the way that we're going to have to do it. And online poker, I mean, it absolutely exploded with, I think, the advent of the televised games where you could put yourself in the position of the player. You could see how see his card, see exactly how things were unfolding in the game. And again, that comes back to the interactivity. And, certainly that has been a big part of the growth of online poker, in addition to what I mentioned, the sites that, where you can join and learn how to play in anonymity, and you don't have that, fear or embarrassment of sitting at a table and not exactly knowing what you're doing. You're getting to learn the game until you feel confident that you can take that next step and try it for real.
Yeah, and if we can take that mentality to the marketing of our sport, it's going to be fantastic. I can tell I'm not a poker player. I mean, I'm a horse guy. I'm a horse player. If television can show four guys sitting at a table giving each other blank stares, surely to goodness, you know, we can sell harness racing.
Well, and I think that's the next step. And I think we have to utilize all of our different platforms, too. And for example, our Monday score shows, I have the pleasure of hosting the mm-hmm. show every Monday evening. And, at this point in time, we basically show five races live. Mm-hmm. We intersperse features, as you know, and interviews with the participants. But I'd love to see us eventually get to the next step, and it's a slow process. But, again, more interactivity with the fans on a weekly basis, have them participating, and I want to see it get to the point where they can play along and win some money, some substantial money. And we've tried that with a 1-2-3.
1-2-3, yeah, I was about to say.
Exactly, and I want to see that grow to the point where, we're playing for big bucks, and those five races every Monday are sort of must-see TV in Canada.
We've got some sharp cookies such as yourself, and I'm not trying to polish apples here. We've got the brains in this industry and more coming down the pipe. I think we can do this. Best of luck at the seminar and at the conference, Greg Blanchard.
Thank you, Norm.
I want to thank you, and as usual, you do a great job on Woodbine Racing Live. It was a pleasure running into you last Monday when we were down there visiting. Greg Blanchard, our guest this day on Trot Radio. We'll be back with more on the upcoming wagering conference right after this. This is Trot Radio on Standardbred Canada. We're back on Trot Radio on standardbredcanada.ca as we continue to take a sneak peek into the Standardbred Wagering Conference that's going on in Windsor, Ontario. And one of the topics as well that's going to be discussed is there life after parimutuel wagering? The moderator of that session is the general manager of Harness Racing PEI, and we've been doing a lot of visits to our friends out on the island in the last couple of episodes. He is Jeremy Pierce. Welcome to Trot Radio.
Hi, thanks for having me. We're looking forward to it.
Now, you know, it's interesting when you're looking beyond the typical platforms, you know, things like fixed odds wagering, almost like a legalized bookie type of thing. Some people look at that as a shock, but I remember growing up in some of the places in rural southern Ontario, Cliff Chappie Chapman was, I think, the only legalized bookie in the province, and he would give you his odds and they'd fluctuate and people would make bets at these fair tracks where there wasn't parimutuel wagering. Why not? What's your take on that?
Well, I guess, Norm, we're at a point in our industry where the parimutuel wagering as a model has been sufficed to a certain extent, but our customers are asking more from our industry and more from our betting products. So I think it's time that we start tinkering with our product line and our offerings, and whether it be fixed odds or parimutuel wagering that's expanding in some manner, or betting exchanges, or even somehow going through the lottery system. I think those are all models that we should be looking towards, and if there's an opportunity, we should be embracing them and moving forward.
It's interesting. I want to touch on some of those ideas, but can you explain for our audience what a betting exchange consists of? What is it?
Well, essentially, a parimutuel system is the processing of wagers between three or more individuals. A betting exchange is almost similar to a trading and acquisition of stocks or on the stock exchange, where customers, instead of betting into a large pool, are essentially buying and selling of shares against one another and to determine the outcome in various ways of a race. And it's very popular. I know Betfair is operating very well in Britain, and their customer growth has grown exponentially over the years. And again, it's a model that we're looking at, and we should seriously take a look at.
I know that the Meadowlands, and this goes back to the parimutuel model, but the Meadowlands had experimented with or was trying to come out with a special bet where you could do what they called group bets. In other words, you pick four horses, either one of those four in a group win, you win. Is that another avenue that could be explored, or is it even on the horizon?
I think that very much sounds like almost like a fractional wager, where a person would say, I have $5, but I'd like to place five different horses in a win ticket, and
right,
you might get some sort of a fractional return on your investment if
right,
you're one of those five horses. I believe that is something that is taking place in the Southern Hemisphere, whether it be in South Africa or Australia or New Zealand, that is popular. And again, that's another of our customers. Might not be of the former customers that were here and supporting the industry and that have a couple hundred dollars a night or $1,000 a night, and they might have limited dollars, but they want to expand their wagering opportunities, and much like the 20-cent wager, so for Superfecta. So maybe that's something, again, we should be looking at. I think there's all kinds of great ideas out there. It's just time to start working on them and getting them implemented.
You mentioned the betting exchange, which is almost like a stock market for harness players or horse players. We were just talking to Greg Blanchard about some of the ways that we can appeal to the techno generation. I would think that the betting exchange would appeal to the day trading type of young adults that we have in society today.
Well, I think it applies to a demographic that is not entirely familiar with horse racing, whether it be harness racing or thoroughbreds, but a lot of people in their day-to-day activities follow the stock market, and I guess you talk to a lot of people, the outcome of the race is not paramount to what they're trying to do. It's trying to make money, and trading stocks is, for a lot of people, is becomes a very fruitful endeavor, and so be it. And if that is something that's successful elsewhere, there's no reason why it couldn't be successful in our industry.
Tell us about some of the people on your panel.
Well, we have three individuals on our panel. Mark Davies is representing Betfair, and he'll provide an history and the current status and perhaps some statistics and growth trends for their industry. And he'll talk about how the whole Betfair model works and the recent acquisition of TVG, and perhaps also he's going to discuss what's taking place in North America wagering and the integrity of their system. Michael Lipton is a legal representative who can provide some background, and he's going to talk about some of the criminal code changes that would be required, some processes and some timelines, and also some practical business requirements that are required for betting exchanges. And the third gentleman on our panel is Dean Towers, who is familiar for most horse players across the country, very active in change for the horse bettors that are supporting our industry, and he's going to talk about why betting exchanges and other models that are out there and around the world for wagering could be successful in Canada, and some of the markets that we should be appealing to and working towards.
Well, it sounds like a very exciting time, and it's really refreshing to see the industry as a whole coalesce. And I know the first wagering conference did spring forth some great ideas. One of them, of course, is the Adrenaline Festival that's going to be taking place at Hiawatha. But it's from this type of event that some of the good ideas will be springing forward to help this this great sport of ours. I believe that, you know, if we make it accessible, they will come. We just got to find out where they are. Jeremy Pierce, General Manager of Harness Racing PEI, one of the moderators of the upcoming Standardbred Wagering Conference going on in Windsor. I thank you for your time.
Thank you very much for having me.
Thanks for being on Trot Radio, and that wraps it up for this edition. We'll be looking forward to seeing you in the near future on Trot Radio, a production of Standardbred Canada. Technical producer Chris Knowles, along with Ford Communications. Bye-bye.